eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
And here we are back at Eat, Drink, Talk, the podcast, and it's getting more fun every week. I'm here with my partner, Steve Coombs, and we have had another week of adventures on the culinary path, right?
Excessive Steve? And unnecessary calories consumed. Boy, part of the job.
It's a great job to have. I know a lot of people are envious of that, and you know.
And they'll stay envious.
Yeah.
Because we're not going anywhere.
There's no openings on our staff at this point.
Is there a staff?
Yeah.
I want to delegate something.
We don't have that. Well, let's jump right in the news. We've had a lot of great news on eatdrinktalk.net, and I have noticed, I looked at the stats, the numbers are going up. It's all great. Would
Keep
like
reading.
To welcome anyone who's interested in being a part of this as an advertiser to get in touch with me or Steve, and we'll set you up. We will set you up. And I guess the first news item of the week, Steve, Nancy Miller. You just had Kevin Grangier on the show last week.
Right.
He kept a secret from you, didn't he?
Apparently so. I guess he just had to wait. Well, and so Nancy Miller, the longtime Courier-Journal restaurant critic, is joining the staff at, what is it, Bell Noble, however he pronounces
yeah.
it, as their PR person, a service training person, you know, kind of a catch-all title, which would require her leaving her role as the Courier-Journal critic.
Right.
So maybe that's why he had to keep it quiet until Nancy had made that announcement.
Yeah, I guess so. I did just see that she reviewed the Red Barn Kitchen.
Yeah, I did.
So
I'm fond of it as well. So
it's an interesting career move. I think you would agree. Anxious to see. I don't know how many restaurant companies are big enough to have a person like that.
Gosh. Well, you know, I've worked for much smaller companies actually that did have somebody in charge of training, but it was a person who was a restaurant veteran who'd been, mm-hmm. you know, in the business for years and brought on staff specifically to do that. I know Nancy. I haven't talked to her in a couple of years, but I don't know what sort of experience she has doing that. But, you know, Kevin Grangier is no fool. So, you know, if he made the hire, that's something to take notice
yeah.
of.
And we can hope that it means more new restaurant concepts from that group.
Yes, those are definitely on the way. I think he talked last week about an Italian one and possibly another Village Anchor in Lexington or Cincy or Indy, maybe. I think
sure.
he said 1 hour is where he likes to go. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how she enjoys the jump. Nancy has not been on anybody's staff in eons. She's been, you know, a scrapper, done her own thing
right.
for much longer than I have.
A couple of years ago, spoke at my Breakfast of Champions event about her book about 100 interesting women or something like that, a book about women, famous women in the area. So it is a jump, and let's wish them well.
Yeah. And it's interesting to look online and see who people are thinking that will be the new critic. And really, there aren't any names out there that I've seen that seem logical. So
I'm sure that a lot of people would. Your name would be the first to come up for a lot of people.
I don't want it. I've done that before, not for the Courier, but for Louisville Magazine, and I do not ever want to go back to that role.
Yeah,
not fun.
Tough day. Okay, so Steve's got a job, got interesting stuff to do that he likes. So forget about that.
Not being the bad guy.
So we love a good lawsuit, right?
Indeed, we do. In fact, you taught me how to read those documents years ago. Yeah, with Papa John's and Panera.
It really, I know you know the current stuff. It really reminds me of the old old lawsuit I covered back in the day with Papa John's versus Pizza Maggia, where they thought they were stealing secrets and all that. And this is sort of a similar case, right?
Well, on a much higher level. With Pizza Maggia, the accusation was that some people within that company, this is about 2000, I think it was maybe, the accusation was that they had taken an employee handbook, one of these giant things, you know, that contains recipe and processes and things like that. Because much of the people that made a Pizza Maggia were ex-Papa John's officials. So they really were caught with their hands in that cookie jar, and the company basically went down the tubes as a result. Papa John's was showing no mercy, period.
Right. And now the guy, it's shoes on the other foot in a sense, because the guy left Panera to go to Papa John's.
Right.
And the accusation is that he's using his Papa John's knowledge to help Panera, especially in
No, vice versa. He's using his Panera knowledge.
Panera,
yes.
Knowledge, yeah. To help Papa John's, I guess. In terms of delivery services?
Exactly. Or? These companies have what's called big data. I'm sure it's not new to, that term isn't new to many of our listeners, but it basically is everything they have on record about you and how they can use that to sell more to you. And if he took that kind of information or something even remotely similar to it that was proprietary to Panera, he's in hot water. And this is Michael Nettles that we're talking about.
So you think he's really in trouble? There's something to the suit.
Absolutely. The suit has merit, and everybody that I've talked to in the business that knows a little bit about it says, yeah, that's big trouble. So, for Papa John's, you would hope that they'll just put it all on Nettles, and he'll move. He'll go away. Yeah.
It'll be bad for him, good for everybody.
Yeah, and they'll just say, hey, we didn't know he was doing this. But I don't know. It could be real trouble.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm bummed about one piece of news because I have interviewed Stephen Riley. I've interviewed Carolyn Heine for my Rusty Satellite Show, and the news was just announced yesterday that the West Louisville Food Port, which had high promise in terms of the food world around here and food related businesses, is really not going to happen.
That's a shame. I mean, just for the jobs in that area and to the potential economic vitality it would have brought to the area. I mean, is it totally a dead? I know it's dead for now, but is it just gone and they're not going to try it again?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone unless something happens. You know, unless something, something changes. I believe when I read the story I read was that a key a vendor, a key occupant of the place,
right,
decided against it, and it was the biggest. It was the biggest thing.
$23 million piece,
yeah,
right?
$23 million yeah. piece. So if you lose your main piece, then it's hard to, it's hard to fill the shopping center if you lose your anchor tenant.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I guess that's what happens. We'll see what happens next with those folks. I believe Riley's a smart guy, and he's got a great staff. So maybe they'll figure out something else to do with the city.
And what was the controversy in the neighborhood about, Rick? Because I know it wasn't exactly the most welcome thing.
Yeah, it's hard to understand the logic of people. I believe as a minority of West End residents were resisting this project, which is just what people do when something's new. I mean,
right.
If you remember when the Walmart came in down there, there was a bunch of people opposed to that.
Right.
And I think it sometimes people work against their own interest when they block a
right.
million-dollar project coming into your neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Walmart at all, but that would have brought, 400 jobs?
Yeah.
To that area? I mean,
yeah.
It's important. They need shopping down there. So, I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah.
What isn't tough is eating at the state fair. I see you doing your gut exercises over there.
Fried Twinkie or something. I don't know what they're going to fry.
Or the, what's the Krispy Kreme burger, right?
Yeah, where was I that they had fried Oreos? That was a scary thought.
Well, there's decent. Kyle came home with my son, that is,
yeah.
Came home with one the other day. So, I guess they're doing it at the Hub.
Oh, yeah.
Some type of fried Oreo.
Maybe that's it. All right. Well, generally, though, we can agree it's bad food, but fun.
It's bad for you.
Bad for you, but a lot of fun.
It could be good going down. I've got a judge tomorrow night with six or seven other people, the Evan Williams Bourbon Cooking Contest.
Yeah.
So part of the perks for that is at the fair. So we get into the fair and we can run around and try all that stuff. So I may actually seek out the Krispy Kreme burger thing just to give it a try.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds kind of dreadful. but the converts are there. They love it. So
every year the fair, the stories come on TV about the this year's really bad for you food that tastes great. So we'll see what they're frying out at the fair this year. It starts, I think, today.
Yeah, that's right. Right. But speaking of good and good for you, well, fairly good for you, is this starts the Green Chili, Hatch Green Chili Festival at Chewy's this week.
Wow. It sounds fun.
It's really good. Yeah, I think Chewy's gets dissed a lot, because people say it's not authentic Mexican. It's not this. It's not that. I don't know how many people really know what authentic Mexican is. I've been to the country several times myself, and I can't tell you what it is because it just is so varied. But the fact is the food's really good. I've gotten the chance to write about it a lot of times, and how they constantly are making it throughout the day. It's very fresh, very tasty, and when you start adding in Hatch green chilies that are roasted, it's awesome. It's
now, what great. Are Hatch green chilies?
It's from Hatch, New Mexico, and it's just, you know, due to the, it's kind of one of those terroir things where due to the soil and the climate and the actual breed of chile, it's just fan-freaking-tastic. And so they put it in lots of their dishes. They do a special menu, do a special Hatch chile margarita, and it's delicious. It goes on for about 3 more weeks. I highly recommend it. I think it's great. All if you've right. never been to chili, Chewy's, rather.
Sounds like a great thing to do. Let's speed it up here, talk about what we've been drinking. Had some special stuff.
Well, I'm going to have some special stuff this afternoon. Old Forester is holding a party for the media. We lucky hacks that we are to taste their 1920 Prohibition bourbon, which is 115 proof. And this is my chance to, you know, to kick Old Forester a little bit. Despite, I always praise it as one of my favorite brands, but when they do their private barrel picks, they always proof it down to 90 proof, which is, I don't get it. Everybody else does barrel proof picks except Old Forester. Now, at least, they're rolling out a 115 proof version, which will be just fantastic. And we get to taste this year's birthday bourbon release as well. Why they pour this stuff down these chuckleheads' gullets, I don't know, but I'm glad to be one of them.
I might try to sneak in. I don't know. That sounds like a really
good. You should oughta. 5 o'clock.
Okay. All right. I can sneak in. And we had a lot of drinking to do last week at the Bourbon Mixer. We talked about on this show a lot.
What a fun event.
That was cool. I got that ice cream thing, the Comfy Cow ice cream thing with Maker's Mark. That was sort of the highlight of the day for me.
Yeah, that's a good liquid dessert. I you know, sometimes I look at that thing, I'm going to spill it on my shirt, so I'll avoid it. But I've had them before somewhere else. I think it was at Festival, as a matter of fact. They are delicious.
Yeah, it's really cool. All right, moving on to our food. You finally went to a taco place, unlike where we went for lunch last week, which was the taqueria right down the street.
Right. It was okay.
It was okay. But La Rosita was better.
Awesome. On Westport Road, kind of near where Mother Good Counsel Church used to be. It's it's Portland Christian School now. It's nearby. Okay. But it's always a good time, and I'm the only English speaker in there. And it was great. And I've heard people talk about it for years, and it was absolutely delicious. I had 3 tacos and an orange Jarritos. And I was in heaven. And the reaction that I got to that picture that I posted on Facebook just showed, you know, how much people love it.
There's a lot of fans out there.
Yeah.
On next week's show, you're going to hear from the people at Bank Street Brewhouse, these great ladies that treated me to lunch yesterday. I had something called a black bean rice bowl. And it had the smoky jalapeno sauce on it, and it was just an outstanding.
That is good and good
thing.
For you.
Yeah,
unlike the other stuff we discussed. Yeah. It does sound great.
I felt good, except for the burger that I had with it.
So, did you have one of their fine beers as well?
They brought me a flight of beers, and the whole beer thing over there is excellent, very impressive, and it's really challenging. You know, they were the first in. Among the first in, they say, she told me they were the 13th brewery in Indiana, and now there's over 130 of them.
It went from the count in breweries in Indiana went from 20 to 100 in something like 4 years. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's really good. So as the old man, I guess in that group, you know, there's certainly challenges in staying on top, and you know,
absolutely,
in their distribution. They only distribute in those 22-ounce bottles too. So that's and kegs, but the 22-ounce bottles.
The bombers.
They're tough to. I guess they're tougher to sell than other stuff. So, anyway, it's been a lot of fun running around town doing stuff. But let's talk about who we talked to this week.
So I got to talk to David Defoe, who is the founder of Flavor Man and the Distilled Spirits Epicenter. National Geographic sought. Or picked his business as one of the 100 places where he can have a life-changing experience in the world. In the world!
Wow.
And as David kind of remarks with a little bit of wry wit, that he never saw his business as life-changing, and then we start to talk about how it provides entrepreneurial opportunities for people to want to get into the spirits industry. Or not the spirits, but just, you know, beverage industry to create different brands, different sodas, different whatever, and he's just a fascinating guy to listen to, and the company that he has created all on his palate is just amazing.
Yeah, I'm very interested to hear about all the brands that have come out of there. I know they work closely with my guest from last week, Jeff at
Spicewood Branding. Created right there. Yeah.
So there you go. And I had a chance to talk about, I'm really excited about this big event coming up on August 27th. It's called the 7 Cents Festival.
I can't wait.
And they're closing off two blocks of Preston Street, right there where the Zanzibar and the New Vintage are. And I talked to a couple of the organizers. Chris Nelson is the main guy in charge. And then Sean Steele is also on the team, and he is with the Akasha Brewery downtown
in Nulu.
In Nulu, that I was not aware of until I talked to him yesterday. So
perhaps we need to do some research.
Yeah,
brewery research.
I need to go over there. I think that may be on my list of things to do. But those are our interviews, and it's going to be very exciting when you hear about the 7 Cents Festival. That's a great thing.
And what's the date on that, Rick?
August 27th. So it's a week from Saturday.
Awesome.
A week from Saturday. So you can sort of plan ahead. Sometimes I thought it'd be cutting it a little too close to have this show on Friday and ask people to go to the event the next day. So 1 week in advance, make your plans to check that out. It's free. It's free to show up, and it's a benefit for Boys and Girls Haven, and they have all sorts of, as you'll hear in the interview, they have all sorts of food and drink available.
And live
there.
Music. 40 bands, right?
40 bands. 40 bands. On four stages.
Awesome.
So hope we're not too old to mix in there, but we'll see.
Hoping against hope there, pal.
All right. We're going to wrap it up here. Just a reminder that eatdrinktalk.net is your place to go for news about this industry and to see what Steve and I are up to. And we'll look forward to being back here with another podcast in 1 week. We are going to come back, right, Steve?
We are. We don't have any choice.
Okay.
We're renting this place.
All right. Stay tuned for the interviews. They're coming up right now.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned,
Pat Forty.
But I'm with Anoush Sheriott,
Kristen Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
My guest this week is David Defoe, founder of Flavor Man, a beverage development company in downtown Louisville, and its most recent offshoot, the Distilled Spirits Epicenter. And this is where people come to learn the craft of distilling, correct?
That's right.
Welcome to the show, David Defoe.
Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you, man. So for listeners who may not know Moonshine University, well, give us your elevator speech on what happens there.
So one of the things that we wanted to do was to create some kind of a center in Louisville, Kentucky, because we believe this is the epicenter of distilled spirits, so that people could come and learn how to start, direct, to operate, to manage a distillery. So every part of learning what it is about operations or how to make a product, so manufacturing, how to price a product, basically everything from start through finish. You can come here at Moonshine University and learn how to do is in any distilled spirits, not just bourbon. I think people think of us as the bourbon capital of the world.
Right.
But that's just one of the spirits we talk about.
And the courses run from a day to 6 days. I mean, it's an intensive thing if you get into it.
That's right. What we did originally was we created a 6-day program that really went from nuts to bolts. We started off with architects and people who talked about permits and where do you locate a distillery. So really from the very beginning of a distillery all the way through the operations management to the marketing and sales, literally all the way through. And that we developed a 6-day course. And then we looked inside that course and said, all right, our fermentation segment is about 3 hours long, but that's something that, you know, some folks who've been in the industry for a while, they really want a 2-day course or a 3-day course on it. And so then we broke up that 6-day course into a whole number of 1-day, 2-day, and 3-day sessions.
Really drilling down to...
That's right.
Specific segments of it?
That's right.
And yeast is where the magic happens anyway, right?
I've heard that. Talk to the barrel people about that.
Oh, that's right. They would have their say, wouldn't they? So National Geographic recently named, I should say, Moonshine University one of its 100 places that will change your life. I said that was on the cover. So when you saw that, what did you think?
I was actually out of the country when I saw it, and somebody said, hey, you're in National Geographic, And I couldn't believe it because I've read National Geographic since I was a kid. So
people in that magazine often aren't wearing anything.
And you know, to me, that's like, I mean, if you're going to be in a magazine, that would be an awesome magazine.
Very cool, huh?
And why would a distillery be in that magazine? So I finally got a hold of it, read the story. And I mean, I couldn't be more excited than to be in, you know, National Geographic. I thought that was the most awesome thing that's happened in a long time.
So when you saw it and you think, I've got this high-tech distilling center with Moonshine University. And by the way, people, it has every piece of equipment, not only that you need to run a distillery, they will distill a beverage there while you're there.
That's right. Right?
So how did you think, I mean, how do you look at that and go, wow, this is a life-changing place? I mean, what's your answer to that? Because the paragraph in Nat Geo was not that explanatory, I didn't think.
It wasn't. In fact, none of the 100 places to go were actually very explanatory. But what really is happening here is that, you know, I can tell you all about how to do all of these things with the distillery. You can watch a video. You can read a book. You can go to a lecture or a seminar. But really, it's magical when you go there because it's hands-on. So you're really doing something. This isn't something that you can just read or watch. This is something you actually do. So, you know, when I tell people this is an experience, it is absolutely an experience.
And that is for strictly the professional distiller to be or already is? Or could someone who is just an enthusiast come in here and, you know, maybe, quote-unquote, have their life changed by going to the classes?
So our most popular class is called a bourbon making workshop, and we have folks in there from basically housewives to, you know, folks who've worked at a distillery for 20 years who actually they're coming because they're working with big equipment that they can hardly see because the equipment's so big it's behind walls and doors. And when you come to Moonshine University, you can actually see it happening, you know, right before your eyes. You get to do it. And so these are basically enthusiasts that are coming to spend the day with us to learn how to make bourbon.
Kind of a summer camp in a way without the sleepovers and such. And I mean that seriously. It's because, like, my son went to a robot making camp one summer. Is it kind of like that for adults? Do they have a sense of play, I guess, maybe, is what I'm after?
It is. I mean, we have, you know, when you come here, you're not sitting in a chair all day. I mean, there are, you know, parts of the day, you know, you're getting some lessons, so you're writing things down, you're working in a workbook, but then you're going to the distillery and, you know, we're giving you a bucket and, you know, you're milling your own grain. And you're dumping it in the still and, you know, in the making your own mash. And, you know, you have a fermentation process that's going on. And, you know, you're watching the product come right out of the still. And, you know, you're sticking your thumb in there and tasting the stuff while it's coming out of the still.
And that's all you get because you have to pour it down the drain because this is not at a bottling type. You can't bottle it.
So there are all kinds of governmental regulations, as you might know. And what happens is that everything we do in there is for research and development. So none of it's for enjoyment. None of it. Everything we make, we actually dump down the drain at the end of
the day. Just breaks my heart.
Yeah, we have a lot of tears are shed in that distillery.
So it's one thing to teach distilling, but your team here is also about helping entrepreneurs get started. When you're working like that, I would imagine liquor making quickly becomes kind of a sideshow because you connect with this student and know that you are trying to build for them a business or help them build a business that could be their life's work. Do you ever see it like that?
We own a sister company called Flavor Man where we really develop beverages, and that's all we do is develop beverages, both alcohol and not. And when we built the distillery next door and the education center, we knew that there would be some people who came in there who would want to start, you know, from the ground floor up. They wanted to literally mill their own grain and, you know, cook it and ferment it and then distill it. And then there would be a group of people who came, learned the process and said, you know, I don't know if I want to do all that. I might just want to do like a liqueur or a product where you didn't have to go through all those steps, where we're really developing a beverage for them. And we always had that in mind when we built the, you know, Moonshine University, that there would be some people that would just want to develop a product. So we just kind of work with them on the Flavor Man side. So, you know, we think of it, I don't know that people in the, you know, in the industry think of this business as one, but we think of it as a beverage campus, and we can develop products with and without the distillery. So you can come here with one thing in mind and walk out the door at the end of one day or 5 days and think, well, I can do this a little bit different, because there are a lot more ways to build a distillery or operate or own a distillery than what you'd think as a traditional distillery. And so we can set you up that way.
What's the furthest away that people come for these classes to have their life changed, as it were?
Well, we've had people from over 26 countries, I believe. It changes all the time. In fact, I was talking earlier about a lady who came from Melbourne, Australia, to our last five-day class, and she stayed for a month because towards the end of that 4 weeks that she was here, there was a gin class, an absinthe class, and a bourbon-making workshop. So, and you know, we've had people from Vietnam.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. You think, you know, how do these people find out about us? But they find us.
So this company is always evolving. You're always putting out new classes and such. What is there anything in 2016 that we're going to see that gets added to the curriculum that's new class-wise?
Well, I think one of the coolest things we're going to do is we're teaming up with a distillery, and we're going to have a urban camping experience. So we're going to have a weekend where you bring your tent and you stay in the parking lot. I mean, this is completely urban. And you know, you're going to be able to make a fire, but it's going to be in a barrel like it would be in, you know, an urban setting. And so we're going to have all kinds of things. We've been working on it for a while. We're trying to get it done before the fall, but time just kind of snuck up on us with all the weekends. So we're reserving some weekends in the spring to do that.
What will that cost, and how many days will it run?
It'll be over the weekend, and we have no idea how much it's going to cost yet. We're trying to put together the program now, because every time we get together to decide what it's going to look like, uh-huh. it becomes like a 3-day and 4-day thing, because there's so many cool things you could do. So we're trying to make sure that we get it in 2 days, and it'll be reasonable.
Adult beverage camp.
Adult beverage camp, yes.
David Defoe, thanks for being on Eat Drink Talk.
My pleasure.
Excuse me, garçon. I'll have another.
Okay, today I am at the New Vintage, where we're getting ready for a very exciting event, the 7 Cents Festival, right out here on Preston Street. I'm with Chris Nelson and Sean Steele. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us, Rick.
All right. Well, this is all about fun, it sounds like to me. Chris, you're basically the organizer, curator, you like to say, of the show. What's going on with it? Tell me the story.
Well, it kind of came about when Sean came to me a few years ago and said, I want to do a craft brew festival and a music festival married together and do it on Preston Street. I said, Sean, that is a brilliant idea. I've been looking for that idea for a long time, because I've always wanted to put events together. You know, I'm big into music. Love craft beer. So we called up Hunter, who's the music expert, our third partner, Hunter Embry of the New Vintage. And we put it all together, and this is our third year putting it on. And as you said, it's a fun time. Lots of stuff going on.
Well, I'm trying to imagine what it's going to be like to have Preston Street out here blocked off, and 10,000 people, I've heard, are expected to show up this year. You ready for the crowd?
Oh, it's a party, brother. You betcha. That's what we put it together for. Come one, come all.
Okay, so we're going to have to feed all these people. This is Eat, Drink, Talk, so let's talk about the food. What are you going to have for people coming to the festival? Because it's last all day, right?
Yes, sir. It starts at noon, and it goes till 11 outside, continues till 3 in the morning inside the New Vintage in Zanzibar. But like you say, we got to feed everybody, right? Mm-hmm. We've got 7 food trucks. We've got Mama's Mustard Pickles and Barbecue, some of the best barbecue in town. We've got the Celtic Pig, who kind of marry comfort food and also like some Irish and Scottish traditionals. Red Top Gourmet Hot Dogs, serving killer hot dogs. V-Grits for our vegetarian and vegan-friendly folks. Country Loves Breakfast, which is, they serve breakfast and also some other really delicious concoctions. Yeah. Holy Moly Taco Truck for your taco friends and taco fans, rather. And then Snow What Snowballs for your delicious desserts.
Wow.
So we got a great variety of great eats.
Get kind of hungry hearing that. That's really great. Let's bring Sean in. And Sean, I'm kind of embarrassed that I didn't know that you have a brewery right in Nulu called Akasha. And tell me about that place.
So I guess open about a year now. And the head brewer there, the owner is Rick Stidham and Jerry Naraki. But it's on Market Street. We do, I think the key for us is doing beers that other people don't do. We've got a Goza, breaded American Pale. Brett is a wild yeast strain. Just like really unique stuff.
Okay.
Along with some things that people are familiar with. But.
Okay, so about word of mouth, I guess, primarily people are finding their way in there. It's up there by Feast, right?
Yes, yep. It's in that same plaza.
Okay. And at the 7 Cents Festival, people can get your beer and a lot of others.
Yes. Right? And the way we set ours up is we have, so we've got 5 breweries. We've got West 6th, Goodwood, Akasha, of course, Monic, and Lagunitas. And each one of them brings 2 flagship beers. So styles you're likely to be able to get off the shelf or at their tap room. And then every hour they do a special tapping, which is something you can't get anywhere else. Something you'll get first at the festival or a new release, something unique, something a little bit crazier. So you get, if you like what you taste from someone, you're going to be able to get it again. You know, like... You can get it at their tap room, but then you can kind of see what they're capable of when they really get creative as well.
Okay. So to get these taps, give me an idea of as a consumer, when I'm walking up, what's it going to cost me? And
so across the board, you're looking at $7 for a pint. And that is a pint, 60 ounces.
Yep.
For all of the flagships.
Okay.
The special tapping cost, I think we still keep it at that price. We just adjust the serving size because some of them are higher gravity, so a higher alcohol content. We don't want to be pouring you pints of 11% beers.
But the ones that are the same, or they're still 7, they're still pints.
Yes.
So seven for a pint. So they're not super high alcohol content.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it sounds very exciting. Now, there's also some liquor involved.
Oh,
in
yes.
This deal.
Yeah.
You know, because we know there's 40 bands, and we know there's all these great food trucks, and there's beer, and, of course, liquor. Right?
Yes, and, you know, when we started this thing as a, you know, craft brew and live music fest, you know, we didn't really know we were going to get into the spirits as much, but we have had such an amazing experience with all of our liquor sponsors and how they've embraced the festival and really, you know, brought the richness out on that end. You know, whether it's doing shots or doing specialty cocktails or just just great bourbon on the rocks, whatever your fancy is, we have a ton of top quality spirits. And so our biggest sponsor is Heaven Hill Brands, Larceny Bourbon. They also bring Elijah Craig 12-year, Evan Williams Single Barrel, as well as the Evan Williams Black and the Evan Williams 1783. Tito's is another great sponsor that's been with us since the very very beginning, Tito's Handmade Vodka. We've got Lunazul Tequila, all 3 of their lines of tequila, the Blanco, the Reposado, the Añejo.
Is this going to be just like a bar? You go up and order a drink, or are these people doing some sort of special?
Both. Yep, we'll have specialty cocktail menus. We'll have at least 12 specialty cocktails that'll be available, and then whatever, you know, whatever the patron wants. If they want to, you know, order a martini, or they want to order a bourbon and ginger, or whatever it is they want. And then we have I got to name a couple more here. We got Hendrick's Gin, we got Sailor Jerry Rum, we got Horseshoe Bend Vineyards Wine, Domaine de Canton Cinerator. So that's the long and short of the of all the liquor brands we have. So it's all call and premium brands. We're very proud of our spirit lineup.
Wow. And let's talk a little bit about the history, because I know the first year was like the first years with everything. You know, the crowd, I think you told me it was 4,000 or so.
Correct. Yeah.
And group jumped to 7,500 last year. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, is it how are you getting the word out?
Well, we've had a lot. You know, we are a benefit for Boys and Girls Haven, and we are a free festival. So we've gotten a lot of love from a lot of different angles, a lot of press. You know, we appreciate you having us on your show. You know, we've been on WLKY, Wave 3, WFPK, Do 502. Louisville Courier Journal is a major sponsor. And so between, their entertainment mags and their regular, online and print promo, we just gotten a lot of, from every angle, we've had a lot of support And you know, we appreciate the community getting out there because, you know, we need the people to come because it is a free festival, and we want to raise money and we want to grow the festival, and, you know, we really want to make this a staple of the city as far as music and, okay, and arts and everything goes.
So it's a free festival. How does the Boys and Girls at Saving benefit?
You know, historically, the past 2 years, the only way we've been able to donate any money is straight through sales. We get some sponsorships, but it's a very expensive festival to put on. So sponsorship really only covers about a third of our costs. And so we bank on selling the food, and you know, the food vendors give us a little portion of their sales, and then selling the booze. And so without the beer sales and the liquor sales and you know, and the non-alcoholic sales, we really can't put this thing on, and we certainly can't make any donations to Boys and Girls Haven. So this year, because it's not really sustainable, the model we've been using, and we want to grow this thing to multiple days and have it be this gigantic week-long festival eventually, that we're asking for a suggested donation, you know, encouraging donations. Nobody has to pay. We just ask, you know, 40 bands for free. If you can throw in $5, $10, whatever you can throw in, $2, whatever. That helps us, you know, make this thing grow and keep going because, you know, really right now it's not sustainable financially, yeah. And so we're trying to get it there.
When you talk about growing, I mean, is this location able to come? To me, it seems like not very much space for what you're talking about.
Well, we can have 10,000 people at one time. We've got about 1,000 feet of the plus the inside the venues. We've got about 1,000 feet of street, so we can have. Like on a fire code kind of level, a little bit more than 10,000. 10,000 is a very safe number all at one time. Okay. And so, you know, if it grows past that, you know, we'd like to add Friday night next year, and then eventually Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and eventually a kickoff of headliners or whatever.
We found that the residents especially have been very welcoming, receptive of the festival, and it kind of, they have taken ownership of it, you know, like even just, can I help do this? Can I, throw a donation your way before the festival even starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Setting up their lawn chairs in their yard. You know, like I think they feel like it's their festival, which is great. And so it's kind of trying to toe this line between growing, but then not outpacing what your festival is.
Because we all know the legendary story about, like, I know you don't want to compare yourself to Forecastle, but it started out in a park, right?
Right, yeah, sure.
And with a couple hundred people. Of course, now if you talk to anybody, there's 1,000 people you can go to and they'll say they were there at the first one.
Sure.
Right.
So, you never know, but it, you know, certainly it could grow to that size. I was going to ask you about the other neighbors. I know there's a coffee shop next door, and
Sundergoss
and Nord's is right here. Mm-hmm. They participating in?
Oh yeah, they love us. You know, because they get a lot of sales that day, and they've been very supportive. You know, I remember the first year Mike Nord came out of his at 2:00 and said, "I made tons of extra donuts and I'm already sold out." So, you know, he's always enjoyed it, and Sundergoss has been super supportive. They've donated coffee for our winter event. We had 3.5 cents festival in March. They donated some coffee for that. They've been very supportive throughout the whole thing.
And we try to be respectful of them as neighbors. You know, we don't make our own coffee and sell it on the street. You know, we want you to go there
and no donuts, right? And
yeah, right.
Going
right,
to
exactly.
Right. All right, last question. I've been thinking about this for a week since I did the other thing. 7 cents. What's the meaning behind that?
I guess you're going to have to come here and find it, brother.
Oh, don't dodge the question.
So you've been watching a lot of politics lately. So.
We like to say it's the cents you can only find if you come here and have a really good time.
There you go. That's a good one to close on. We look forward to it. August 27th, right here on Preston. The 7 Cents Festival.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.